Grace and peace and happy new year. I want to welcome you back to a new season of Dare to Dream with Dr. Nicole. I am excited because we are committed to being financially free in 2023. And you know how I believe we can get there. When we dream big dreams and have vision that goes beyond the scope of who it is that we are. One of the things that I want to do to start off the new year is to talk about how important dreaming is to me. For those of you that may not know, over a decade ago, I wrote a book titled Dare to Dream. And I thought that it was important. It's called Pushing Past Your Pain to Pursue Purpose. But this is not something that I can just envision. It is a lifestyle for me. And who better to really discuss it, to have been a part of the journey than my two children. I have today welcomed into this space with me, my son, Jesse L. Simpson, the fourth, and my beautiful daughter, Imani Brielle Simpson. Both of them are entrepreneurs. They have chosen to dream big dreams, and I pray that they'll say by the end of the show that they have had very supportive parents to be able to do that. I want to begin with Imani for a moment. Hey, Imani.
Hey.
But you, from day one, since you were a little girl, knew what it is that you wanted to do. So just tell us a little bit about, you know, how the concept of dreaming and pursuing them impacted your life and really your overall journey to becoming the entrepreneur that you are today.
Okay, well, I started off just figuring out what I wanted to do. So being an actor, being on stage, being in front of a camera, but then I had to figure out how to get there. So a lot of it is just kind of been planning how to see what the next steps will kind of be like, because acting is not a linear kind of situation. So I started off going to a performing arts high school, then I went to performing arts, got a degree in performing arts at my undergrad at Kane University. And then I went to New York Film Academy. And during that process, I founded my own company, production company, The Real Artist. And every single step of the way has been kind of like internships with companies just to learn the business and making it able so that I can actually make money from my passions and not just kind of being a hobbyist on it. So yeah, every step of the way has been a learning curve.
So it's interesting, you said you wanted to make sure that you can monetize what it is that was your passion overall. I must say that I am a client, and our collaborations, it got me on ABC. So kudos to you. I just want people to know, but you've been doing it for a long time. And so I really want people to understand that this has been a journey for you for an extended period of time. So how long have you been doing it? And what level of support did you receive from your family dynamics, if any, or did you do it on your own?
Okay, so it's been 10 plus years. I was in high school, so when I first started, and that feels really good to be able to say 10 plus years. And thankfully I've had friends, family, support, specifically my parents, thank you, Mom, and Dad. They're just always been able to like let me do whatever I wanted to do. So they weren't very heavily like, you need to help pay bills like immediately. It was kind of like a graceful process on my bills kind of coming into things, knowing that, you know, being an artist is very difficult. It's not like a very consistent kind of paycheck. So thankfully having a support system of people being like, hey, you can do that even if you're not making money is very helpful. So yeah.
I'm glad you said that. Jesse, your journey has not been as smooth sailing or as, clear cut and precise in the pursuit of your dreams, but you kind of got like, you know, you found your way in terms of what it is that you wanted to do, because very early as a child, you acted and then you were like, yeah, I don't want to do that. And somewhere along the line, you found yourself in performing arts as well. So please share with us, your passion and your dream and the journey that you took to get there.
Well, hi, first of all. Yeah, my sister had it all figured out. She was ready to jump right on stage and just perform and all that stuff. Me, I took a totally different route with wanting to work. I just did all of like what made sense for me at the time. I didn't start really getting into the passion side of things until I started going to karaoke. And just being in karaoke, I was able to see, I like to sing a lot. And it actually opened up the doorway for me to go into doing something else, which was actually being in an actual show and acting on stage. And I realized then, I was like, I can do this whole acting, singing, dancing thing, but how do I do it? Because I'm a little late in the game, unlike my sister. So I just kept going, doing contests and things like that, perfecting my own inward craft. And then I was like, wait a minute, there's actual money to be made. And I was like, okay, let me start trying to do these things. And I'm like going to actual auditions. I actually started karaoke DJing myself, which opened the door for me to be able to do other type of DJing, MCing, and just kept growing and growing and growing. So I was able to start my own company, and I had support from you guys, mom and dad, from the moment I said I was going to actually do it. You guys was like, thank God you're doing something.
Don't worry, I hope not. But both of you identified the money aspect of it, and that's really where I want to delve into. Imani, you were very clear about the fact that you had some level of freedom and liberty, to pursue your passion without worrying about the economic barriers that people oftentimes would have. Whereas Jesse, you said you decided, I needed to do the money thing first, and then wait a minute, let me stumble into the passion thing overall. So I do want to know, if you can discuss your financial journey. Has there ever been a moment where either of you have decided, you know what, I really want to give up on this because the money's not coming in the way that I want, or were you dogmatic in your pursuit of I'm going to keep pressing forward because mommy keeps saying and daddy keeps saying, dare to dream and doggone it, I have the space to do it. And so I'm going to dream. That might've been the answer, but okay. I just want to hear from both of you. Hey, anybody?
Well, for me, it was very much an easier kind of journey just because I started off like really, really young. So I think you guys kind of knowing like, she is consistent on this, gave me kind of some leeway of being like, she's not gonna give up. However, there was definitely a point right after college of just kind of no longer being in school productions and having to actually go on professional auditions and having to kind of cultivate my own community of artists that I want to work with and just navigating just life all at the same time being like, theater, like I was saying originally, does not have a lot of like lucrative opportunities, especially for Black women, Black actors, people of color. There's very limited roles and positions. I ended up having to think of another side of it being like, let me produce these things. Let me be the producer in the room. Let me be the director in the room. And then my acting has been able to kind of come after. So it definitely was hard right after college of being like, what am I supposed to do next? Like, I can't just act all the time. Unfortunately, like actors usually have multiple incomes. So that makes a huge difference.
That's interesting. I'm going to go back to that shifting aspect in a moment because I think that that's important. Jesse, you want to jump on in?
Yeah, as we said, my journey was a little bit different. I found the passion later on. So for me, it was hit, hit, hit. This is great. I'm learning from different karaoke DJs and just learning how to DJ and cultivate my gifts. But then the pandemic happened and it slowed everything down. I could no longer be in public spaces, which my job required for me to be there with people. So it did take a little bit of a hit. And I was just like, how am I going to make this work? And then I found a way to just be online with it. It was like, everything is already shifting online. So I switched my thinking so that I can continue to do my karaoke thing because it was feeding the soul while the day job fed the actual pockets for a while.
Both of you have talked about, just being resilient enough to shift and to make the adjustments that are necessary. You oftentimes see that, I think, in family dynamics. I think you've been able to see, the journey and the pathway. You come from a family of entrepreneurs. I'm not in my office for no reason at all right now, but you come from, a family of entrepreneurs, your dad being an entrepreneur, me being an entrepreneur as well. But there are financial ebbs and flows. but other things are contributing factors as well. And so we just came out of, a very tumultuous time in COVID 2019. It really impacted your industry very specifically for 2+ years before both of you were able to recover. Imani, I watched you figure out how to work online and still have some level of success in that. But I want you to talk about the difficulties of trying to still break into, this arena overall while COVID was happening, and how you were able to cultivate and hone your gifts and still make some money during COVID in an industry that got virtually shut down.
I think what kind of kept me going was just being flexible in general. I think when COVID happened, none of us knew what to do. None of the artists knew how we were going to keep theater alive or any in-person kind of things alive. And a lot of theater actually turned into TV/film. There was a lot of pre-production of recording things and things of that nature, but you had to learn on the fly. So I think how I was able to get through it was thankfully already kind of being a person that wears many hats. And so I kind of leaned very heavily into that during the pandemic. So I would start off being a stage manager and then a director and then, just a line producer and then a production assistant. It just, wherever the money kind of was or wherever the jobs were, you kind of took them just to kind of, one, learn, because we didn't know if this was going to be skills we needed long term or not. But then two, I didn't want to lose the passion side of it. So, you kind of find the balance by just kind of being able to be open and flexible for whatever is kind of coming. So yeah, that's what I did.
I'm not going to ask you to answer that question. I'm going to make you be the big brother for a moment and shift just a little bit, because oftentimes dreams can get thwarted or interrupted overall. And I know that you both have seen me go through having to shift in the middle of having my own practice in recovery. And that is that my mom got sick in 2014. I know it was a while ago, and it hit us very hard. And as an entrepreneur, I had to shift my entire business module, methodology, ability to earn, to do what? To take care of my mother during a very tumultuous time as she was enduring cancer. These are sometimes unforeseen circumstances that will happen in life. Are there any things, because I don't want to put you guys on the spot, but how can your parents make life easier for you that should something happen? Because I have a book coming out called The Quiet Shift, Navigating Through the Economic and Emotional Turmoil of Aging Parents. I just butchered my own title name, right? So the economic impact of aging parents in the family. And so I recognize that as individuals get older, things start happening. They've not been as well as they used to be, or they're calling on their kids even more. So Jesse, what could your parents do or adults do in order to ensure that you're not financially impacted should anyone that you love that's older than you find themselves ill in some capacity?
Well, I would hope that they would be doing the same thing that I was taught, which was that you should be saving as you're going along and working. So that way, when they do kind of mix the two worlds, because it's going to happen, that it's not just all on the kids to figure it all out in that moment. Because trying to balance your own life, if you're already unstable, and adding something that's going to be even more unstable will throw you completely off. So I would hope that they would be receptive and figure out how they can work the monies together. So that way, that at least the financial side is there. And from the personal side, just be willing to communicate, I have these particular needs. It's like reforming the relationship, because you're going to need to know what's going on with them and for them to be open with you helping them. And removing those things such as pride or ego, because I've seen too many times with friends where the parents walk in a situation and it was like, well, I'm this. And it's like, well, hold on. Now we're relying now on me, and I need this in order for me to function and for me to work. So it should be a little planning on both ends, and then being open and receptive, at least in my mind.
Anybody want to add to that?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think that the biggest thing that would be helpful is just kind of having that open communication. I think if the conversation, it's not a fun conversation to have. No one's going to be prepared for it. It's never going to be like, you know, something that you can plan ahead of time or anything like that. But if you kind of keep both sides of communication open, as in saying like, okay, well, I am getting a little bit more sick, or it is going to be harder for me to be working a little bit more. I'm kind of relying on you in these places and these aspects, that little bit by little bit, gaining that like trust and building that relationship over again, as Jesse was saying, that would be so much more helpful. So it's not so like shocking to the system, because you're already going to be whatever is happening, grieving or processing or whatever you need to do as the child on that end, trying to, you know, deal with, wow, I was unexpecting of all of this happening regardless, but then to know the severity, you know, like to know like, okay, this is something we need to immediately deal with, or, you know, all those things. Cause something that, and not to bring this too deep, but to bring up with grandma, when she got cancer, it was just very quick. And yeah. I think that was probably, at least from what I noticed, was probably one of the most difficult parts of everything, was that not only were we processing all of this happening, but we were also like on such a time crunch that it was, and that's what ends up happening with funerals and things, like you're dealing with so much emotion in such a little time period. So yeah. If there was just times where you were able to like talk a little bit beforehand, just in a casual way, just knowing kind of what your mom would have wanted or something like that, would help to not have those kind of conversations later that end up being like misconstrued or you're guessing.
I appreciate that, because one of the reasons why I wanted you guys on is because, you know, when I do this level of work, having dealt with, and you guys have been on the journey with me, I've dealt with trauma, I've dealt with money, I've dealt with, you know, ministry. And it's like, ma, another thing, I get it, right? But it's all a part of what I know. What do I know? I know two things. I know Jesus and I know money. And I just want to make sure that I always put that information out there most appropriately. And even in doing what it is that I've been called or charged to do, you have been, both of you, at the front row of many of the endeavors that I've embarked upon when it relates to probably those two big umbrellas in our lives. But grandma was different, you know, it hit us all. And so there are often times where family will get together. And for those of you that are listening, I want y'all to hear me clearly. The reason why I had my children on today is because I really wanted to have a candid conversation of what will be helpful for multiple generations. And I think about all the time, and I actually wrote about this in my book, that we had a plan. It was a loose plan, but we had a plan. When mommy gets older, listen, you're going to take care of her. So that would be Auntie Nita or Auntie Sanji. I was going to write the check. And we had all of these agenda items that were on the table, and everybody was clear about what it is that they were going to do until the unknown or the unthinkable transpired. And so one of the things that I hope to accomplish is with the quiet shift is to make sure that as you two are pursuing your dreams, that I am not the reason why they have to go on the back burner, because I have not done something that would have made life more easier for you to navigate, knowing that your love that you have for your parents, is going to, make sure that you come up front and center to be supportive in a time of illness. So I want parents out there to recognize the role that a children has, because the whole aspect of what it is that I'm talking about is we have the privilege of investing and imparting into you. And we probably have that opportunity with a good 15, I dare say maybe to 17 years, to have an effectual impact. And what we do then will define what will transpire later on in our lives. And the truth of the matter is that the role that the child has when that shift begins to happen is probably a longer duration than a parent that invested into a child. So that's why I wanted to make sure that, you know, if we spark the conversation, then maybe others will have it not only, you know, immediately, but begin to recognize life is precious. So any final thoughts that you guys would like to add to that? And I do want to give people, you know, things to do so that they can continue to dream big dreams. I'll start off with you, Imani. Any final thoughts or things that you would like to add?
No, but I would like to reiterate, I guess, of saying that, yeah, I think it's very important that if you are going to have these difficult conversations, that you kind of want to not shock everyone's systems about it. Like, it is going to be hard regardless. So why not kind of bring that conversation up a little sooner than you would like? When things are going well is when you want to talk about these things that might be a little difficult, just so you can at least find out where people stand, like their perspectives on things. Like, you know, people are going to change their minds as time goes, but if you kind of have some type of foundation, I think that'd be very helpful in the long run.
Jesse, anything you'd like to add, final thoughts?
Just be open and willing to hear the other person when they're speaking to you. It makes it where the conversation is less difficult. If you're trying to understand where they're coming from before you start speaking, and just trying to press your side of how you're feeling. And I think that you also, you should make sure that you are absolutely looking at your own health and your own situations long before you start thinking, like, to tell your kids. That's something you should be doing every day. How am I feeling today? How am I in a doctor? Do I go get my checkups? Do I, you know, you need to check on all aspects of your life, whether it be mental, physical, you know, emotional. You need to be on top of that, and it'll make the conversations that much easier when you go to have those with anyone.
So since both of you are entertainers, I need to really let you have a moment so that you can continue to dare to dream and pursue your destiny and your purpose. Jesse, how can someone find you, and what is the name of your company again?
Okay, so I am MC Jesse Lee. That's the Master of Ceremonies with Fourth Lee Entertainment. You can find me on Instagram, MC_Jesse Lee. That's JESSELEE. MC, M as in Mary, C as in Charlie, _Jesse Lee. And Facebook is Jesse Lee, just like that.
Okay. Imani?
All right. Well, I'm Imani. So you can find me on social media under shorts_Moni. Very simple. But I am an actor. I have my production company, The Real Artist. We're always producing new plays and things. So stay tuned, because in July 2023, we will be producing a new play called Who Knows, and I will be acting in that. So keep up with us.
So I am super excited about my children, not just as a proud mother, but as an individual who has tried to inspire people to dream big dreams. And when you continue to be dogmatic and pursue those dreams, it can happen for you. I pray that you will be supportive of your children as they continue to pursue their goals and their objectives as well, because we do know that if you are resilient, if you are steadfast and consistent in it, you will achieve not only the success that you so desire, but it can be financially beneficial for you as well. In the midst of that journey, understand that the roles as a parent and a child, it will shift over time. And so we must recognize that as parents, we have a responsibility to be considerate of our children's ability to remain a life independent of us. And should we need the help, prayerfully, we've invested in them long enough and in a positive enough manner that when the quiet shift happens in your life, when it occurs, and it will live long enough, the shift is going to happen. I want you to understand that we have got to deal with the economic and the emotional impact of aging parents in the family. I want to make sure that your children will be there for you as you have tried to be there for them. Once again, I want to say Happy New Year to everyone. We are so excited about what's going to transpire in 2023. So stay tuned because their best is still yet to come. God bless you. We're going to be financially free in 2023.
Securities and investment advisory services are offered through Next Financial Group Incorporated, a member of FINRA SIPC.